Okay. The main thing about Kabul is that due to recent events of war, 70% of the land tenure in Kabul is informal, which means that these people, their tenure is insecure, they're unprotected, and they're liable to eviction. There's a lot of people that are able to exploit these people because they don't have access to power, they don't have access to water, and usually they're they've been dispossessed from their lands that traditionally were theirs in rural areas, because once you leave, you know, a rural village in Afghanistan seeking refuge in another country, it's very difficult to return to that village and expect that they're going to accept you and give you back your farmland. I mean, we're talking about a country that water is a very precious resource, it's elevated, and tribalism is very much prevalent. So a lot of refugees have had little choice but to return to Kabul. They've got pretty much no assets whatsoever, and so they build these very cheap housing that is precariously located on the mountainsides around Kabul, often prone to landslides, often prone to mines. And, you know, these houses aren't insulated. You're talking winters that are, you know, up to minus 20 for 3 weeks at a time. It's a pretty grim existence. So naturally, these people being uneducated, illiterate, are very open to exploitation. So the government has, you know, every way of evicting these people and taking back the prime spots of land and forcing them further up the mountainside. So that's what's happened in a particular neighbourhood called Wadi Akbar Khan. It was traditionally owned by the Hazara people, which, if anyone's seen the Kite Runner movie, would have been the servant family of the Pashtuns that were prominent throughout that film. The Hazara community in a particular area has been pretty much evicted, and that land has been given over to various foreign countries to host their embassy, with a price, of course, but also to various governors, usually through a system of nepotism or patriotism. And now that's where you see the rich living and the poor being forced out. So it's quite amazing when you stand on the top of Wadi Akbar Khan Hill and you look at this neighbourhood, you see a divide of very large villas that are very decadent and beautiful, and then very, you know, within metres you see slums that are made from mud bricks and tin sheeting and people struggling to survive through the winter. It's quite a vision.
Anyone who's read Disaster Capitalism by Naomi Klein will perhaps be able to listen to that and think, gee, that's just what she said happened in Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, you name it, wherever there's a disaster, without some form of land title registration that has community respect, it's you know, going to hold the community to ransom. Is there a way the UN can come in, or somebody, to gain the respect of these tribal type communities and have a transparent system of land title registration that can help alleviate these problems?
I hope we find it, because it's essential that we find it sooner rather than later. I mean, this winter we saw the Serena Hotel, which is the only 5-star hotel, and it's actually where the Australian Embassy housed, bombed for the first time. And that means that internationals are being targeted. Our reputation is pretty much mud at the moment in Kabul particularly. And the reason of that is that there's a lot of talk about boomerang aid money boomeranging back to the countries of origin, because you've got a situation where only about 40% of the aid money allocated to Afghanistan makes it into the country. And of that 40%, 39% will be bounced back in terms of foreign salaries. So, I mean, if you've got 1% of the money actually making it on the ground in Afghanistan, it's going to be just spent in Kabul, and there's very little outreach to the rural areas. The way we need to approach it is, you know, building up the systems of governments that have sustained those communities and kept them going right throughout the system of war. So we're talking about your Jirgas and your Shuras. These are the town and local elders. We need to support them, similar to what you would do in an indigenous society here. Support them, educate them, build their capacity so they can take over their towns. They are good and just governors, and they can adjudicate over disputes fairly. That's how you'll address tribalism.
Well, good power to you, Shana. Thanks very much.